No playing.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to D20 Dudes, a tabletop role-playing podcast where the die decides our topic. I am Dylan.
I'm Molly. My face is melting.
Cool, man.
Yes, it's called spicy food, and also my face is just broken. You know,
just have a broke face.
Mm-hmm. The broke face was called
when I was a child.
Actually, my aunt broke her nose so many times when she was a kid that she has like a permanent scar from it.
I thought you were gonna say that she just doesn't have a nose anymore.
Oh no, that would be significantly more traumatizing, I think. Rather than a fun anecdote, you know.
Astute observers may have noticed a tiny little detail. There wasn't an episode last week. It's because I was in the ER.
You're in the ER.
I was in the
Mm-hmm.
It was a weird experience. Mm-hmm. I'm fine now. I hope.
I am not looking forward to hearing the update when you get the hospital bill.
I've looked at that, and it's like it's going to be like $400-ish for everything after
with
insurance.
So. Okay. Oh,
so yeah, it's not
that's like,
it's not awful.
People fucking go into what they have to declare bankruptcy sometimes after going to the ER. It's crazy. Things be broken more than just my face.
If they were going to be like it's $10,000, I would like I'm not going to pay that.
I heard more like $100,000.
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't pay that shit.
Yeah.
Be like, you owe us $100,000, that'd be like too goddamn bad.
You're like, I'm just gonna launch myself into space. I can't do that. Good fucking luck. Mm-hmm.
You get your money when you sell one of these fucking kidneys you fucking decided to leave inside me.
Oh, they'd have
losers.
To sell your kidneys, both of them, and probably your liver to get up to 100K. And maybe your pancreas.
I'm always thinking bad.
One night.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know what I'd do without it.
Why would people want to buy nuts?
I really love my pancreas.
People are weird. And Rob brings up an excellent point. People do make a lot of money selling off random animal parts that are supposed to help penises, so who knows what your left nut would get.
Not enough.
Not enough.
Lefty is my dominant.
I have a dominant testicle.
This is my dominant ball.
It's like I'm right-handed, left, beige. I'm trying to come up with a fun thing.
Right-handed, left nutted.
Right-handed, left nutted. Right brain, left brain. It just makes sense, you know.
So anyway, today we're talking some more about Morkborg.
Rob, I love you. I know you're really high, but we're recording.
No.
We do love Rob. We stand Rob in this Discord.
Mm-hmm. We're still trying to figure out if he can read at this point. Can you?
Yeah.
You stared at me in the face the other day when Molly, I can't read. I'm too high.
Much enjoyment.
Oh, the jiggles.
I got the jiggles, but it's because I'm getting tubby.
I have got the jiggle giggles or the giggle jiggles, whichever one.
Sure. So, Morkborg, as we kind of covered in its main episode, has a really quick, you just roll a few dice and you're done character creation concept. Because characters are not meant to live very long.
Mm-hmm.
You are expected to die quite fast.
Yeah. I have also been playing Frostpunk. Same idea.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. I cannot get into Frostpunk. I am so bad at it.
It's really, really hard. It's me.
It is very hard. So, for the most part, it just kind of wants you to be able to just crank out these characters on the fly. You can give them, ooh, this is your special name and your special backstory, but like after about three of them, you probably give up on that. But
oh yeah, I bet it's so hard. You gotta just have a random like name generator constantly.
There's a name generator in the book for that reason.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So since it kind of expects you to lose characters so quickly, the core character creation process is very streamlined. It's just kind of there to be able to pump out a new character real fast and get you back into the game. There are, however, classes in the game. They are an optional thing, usually something that the GM will say, we are going to use these or we're not going to use these before the game begins. These can add a little bit more depth and a little bit more nuance. And these characters do tend to be a little bit stronger, so possibly more survivable, depending on which one you use.
They probably also require a lot more RPing to do right.
Harder. Yeah, they definitely advanced. Have... They've got some flavor to them. They've got some substance.
Mm-hmm.
So they're characters that are kind of like meant to stick around. Yeah. And the cool thing is that, you know, Morkborg's such a dead simple ass game. We'll probably be able to cover each one of them in their entirety.
Oh, excuse me. I hope so. If we don't get off track too many times.
So we begin with the Fanged Deserter. You have 30 or so friends who have never let you down. Your teeth. Disloyal, deranged, or simply uncontrollable, any group that didn't boot you out left anyway. But your parliament of teeth, enormous, protruding, thick, and sharp, have always been your allies. The Fanged Deserter has a DR10 bite attack that does D6 damage. You must be close to your target, and anytime you use the bite attack, you roll a D6, and on a 1 to 2, the enemy will get a free attack against you because you have to be so close and latch onto them. They begin the game with...
Just a normal person, but they have just huge teeth that they can't contain behind their lips. Sounds terrible. But kind of funny.
Basically, though.
Also, let me help this dog up while you talk.
They begin the game with 2D6 times 10 silver and D2 omens. And their HP is toughness plus a D10.
Yep.
They will roll a D6 for their earliest memories. On a 1, they remember a burnt black building in Sarkash, their home maybe. On a 2, they remember a derelict rotting ship rolling endlessly across a gray sea. On a 3, they remember a brothel in Schleswig, quite a friendly environment. On a 4, they remember sleeping with dogs in the corner of an inn waiting for someone to return. On a 5, they remember following an army in Eastern Wastland. And 6, they remember suckling a wolf in the wild of Bergen Crypt.
Wow, so much flavor just for people. Big teeth person.
Big tooth man.
Big tooth. No. Not big tooth. Big teeth. Big teeths. All the teeths.
Big teethies.
Well, you said only 30. I think there's 32 teeth in the mouth, aren't there?
It says 30 or so.
30 or so. Ah,
yeah,
so
you know, people lose teethies.
People do lose teethies. And then they have painful wisdom teethies come in, and then they lose partially part of their jaw sometimes and then die. Medieval times, man.
Medieval times.
A restaurant, I mean.
Yeah. Restaurant and entertainment center. So their core abilities are a little bit different. So that's really where you kind of start getting into, like, why these characters can be a bit more survivable. Normally you roll 3d6. You cross-reference that to a table to get whatever your abilities are going to be. The classes will all get some adjustments to them. So the Fanged Deserter is built like a bull, so they roll 3d6 plus 2 for strength. They're not bright, so they roll 3d6 minus 1 for agility and presence. And normal agility tests for them are DR14 instead of DR12. Excluding defense. So defense rolls are still only DR12.
Can you imagine fighting zombies and your only weapon is your teeth?
Ew, I don't want to imagine that.
Well, in this game you can, if I remember correctly.
I'd rather not.
Oh, that's quitter talk. Go ahead.
So they are illiterate. They are incapable of understanding scrolls. If you begin the game with a scroll, you can re-roll, eat it, or use it as toilet paper.
Wow.
You also begin with one of the following on a D6.
Mm-hmm.
On a 1, you get a crumpled monster mask, which strikes primitive fear into lesser creatures like goblins, gnomes, and children. While worn, they check morale every round.
Well, you do have big ass teeth, so.
Yeah, do got big teeth and then big spooky mask.
Mm-hmm.
On a 2, they get the brown scimitar of Galgenbeck. a stinking sword you pulled from a military shit ditch.
Shit ditch. I thought you said shit bitch, and I was like, huh.
Fascinating. Shit bitch was fine.
Yes. A brick house?
It does
brick shit house?
It does D6 damage, DR10 attack and defense while you wield it. 1 in 6 chance a wounded enemy is smitten with potent sepsis, dying in 10 minutes.
Smitten is an odd adjective, or an odd verb for that.
Sure, but sepsis.
Yeah, well, the sepsis is not the weird part. The smitten part is, because usually when you hear smitten, you hear, like, smitten in, like, in love. So, fascinating.
On a 3, they get wizard teeth. 4. These like, are my wizard teeth. Like I immediately like imagine just like, or like 4 teeth that have little wizard hats and are shooting lightning out of.
You said 30 or so, and they just only have 4 teeth, and they're just huge. They're,
purple. These are my wizard teeth. Abraca, fuck you.
Oh, it sounds hard to eat.
4 weird teeth rattle within a blackened pouch. Before battle, roll a d6 for each one. For every 6, one of your attacks deals maximum damage.
How are those not wizard teeth?
They are wizard teeth.
What, in a pouch?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought they were in your mouth.
No, they're teeth you stole from a wizard or multiple wizards,
oh,
I guess.
Oh, I thought your teeth turned into wizards. Kind of. You gained the ability wizard teeth, but it's just your teeth are now like purple and starry.
Sorry, dude, my tooth cast power word scrunch. You're gonna have to go.
It's just magic missile coming straight out of your mouth.
On a 4, you get old Sigurd's sling. Sigurd was the strongest man whose throat you ever gnawed. Woven from his long gray hair, this sling has never failed you. 2d4 damage requires fist-sized rocks, which perhaps regrettably are everywhere. On a 5, you get an ancient gorehound. Asthmatic, deluded, and on its last legs, this wizened creature still has a superb nose and can sniffle up treasure in the most disgusting debris. Attacks with DR10, bite d6, defends with DR12, 10 HP, becomes frenzied around goblins and berserkers.
Ah, they're friends. Big teeth. Big pooch friends.
Yes, good friend. Mm-hmm. 6, you get the Shoe of Death's Horse. It looks normal, but since finding it in an obscure crypt, you are convinced this shoe came from the horse of death himself.
Oh, a horse in shoe. I was like, the shoe's horse? Like a...
The Shoe of Death's
like
Horse.
Like a boot.
In your hands, it hits with DR10, D4 damage. 1 in 6 chance, the shoe smashes the skull, instantly killing small to medium-sized creatures. The shoe returns to your hand like a boomerang. Seems to be a good case for it being like fucking crazy ass magical horseshoe.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Instead of like a tiny horse that fits in a shoe.
Now, the next one is like, so it's called the Gutterborn Scum, and I'll have to send you the picture of this, Molly, because it's a real Jeff the Killer looking artwork.
Yeah, all right.
This one's a real silly little guy.
Mm-hmm.
But an ill star smiled upon your birth. Poverty, crime, and bad parenting didn't help either. In your community, an honest day's work was never an option. Not that you ever tried. What are you, some kind of mug? A razor blade and a moonless night are worth a week of chump work.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They begin with 1d6 times 10 silver and 2d2 omens. Their HP is toughness plus d6. Their abilities are, they are small, so they do 3d6 minus 2 for strength.
Mm-hmm.
Stealthy, all presence and agility tests have their DR reduced by 2. Normal tests are DR10 instead of DR12. Roll a D6 on the weapon table and D2 on the armor table. You also begin with 1 specialty.
Specialty.
Roll a D6 for your specialty.
Specializing in what kind of things? You tell.
Well, the D6 lets us know. On a 1, you get the Coward's Jab. When attacking by surprise, test agility DR10. On a success, you automatically hit once with a light one-handed weapon, dealing normal damage plus 3. On a 2, you are a filthy fingersmith. Your snaky little digits get into pockets and pick locks with DR8 agility tests. You also begin with lockpicks! Exclamation point.
Oh, that's nice, actually. That's really nice. Even though I was going fingersmith. Like, they make fingers?
Well, on a 3, you're an abominable goblobber.
Is that a really bad thief?
It means your phlegm is viscous, lumpy, vile, and ballistically accurate at short range.
Huh.
You can spit D2 times during a fight. Roll a DR8 presence test for accuracy.
So you're a cannibal.
Targets are targets are blinded, retching, and vomiting for D4 rounds. Anyone witnessing this, friend or foe, must make a toughness test not to also vomit. PCs test DR10 and enemies DR12.
I would fail that. Well, actually, I have a really strong stomach, but I would be really unhappy about being in the same area.
Yeah, it feels gross. Feels bad.
I don't want to be here. That's weird.
4 is escaping fate. Every time you use an omen, there is a 50% chance it is not spent. Pretty nice. 5, excretal stealth.
Gross.
You have an astounding, almost preternatural ability to hide in muck, debris, and filth. When hidden in these conditions, a DR16 presence test is required to notice you. 6 is dodging death. You are so unpleasant, irrelevant, disgusting, and vile, even death would rather avoid you if it can. On death, if there is even the slightest possibility that you survive, there is a 50% chance that you did. If successful, after 10 rounds, you pop back up with D4 HP and an unlikely explanation of your escape.
It was hiding in the poop, just like the previous specialization.
Turns out I have 6 livers.
But not exactly, but like, your liver is important, but what?
The first time the scum gets better, another specialty is rolled. From the second time the scum gets better, it's possible to re-roll these 2 specialties or just one. The scum also gets a bad birth on a D6.
So what does get better exactly? Like heals or like...
It's leveling up.
Oh, okay.
You're getting better.
Okay.
So bad birth, D6. On a 1, you are dumped onto a moving shit cart still in your birth call.
Excellent.
On a 2, your mother hanged from a tree outside of Galgenbeck and you fell from the corpse.
Fascinating.
On a 3, raised by rats in the gutters of Grift. 4, arguably, kicked and beaten beneath...
The rats one seems oddly pleasant compared to the others.
Yeah, he's my rat mom.
Yes.
4 is a kicked and beaten beneath a baker's table in Schleswig.
Not the worst, I guess. At least there's food.
At least you didn't drop out of a corpse.
Right.
5, escape the Tvelandian Orphanarium.
Orphanariums.
And 6 is educated by outlaws in a hovel south of Alliance.
That one sounds okay. Not the worst.
Sure.
Or the orphanarium. I mean, everything is like up from, you know, landing in shit cart or falling from corpse. I mean, honestly.
Yeah, it's really kind of hard to go downhill from there, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, those seem like they're pretty much at the bottom of the hill, so...
Listen, this was, we found rock bottom, and then we decided to put a little poop in there.
What if you landed out of a corpse into a shit cart? Just become, man, like, the plague?
At that point, I think you are just Nurgle now.
Just Nurgle. And then you end up at the Orphanarium.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Do you want this
How
shit,
How do I
baby?
Have all of them? Oh, no.
I have all the diseases. Every single one. I'll give you a disease. It'll be like Oprah.
As a present.
As a present. Bees.
Bees. So the third class is called the Esoteric Hermit. The stone of your cave is one with the stars. Silence and perfection. Now the chaos of a fallen world disturbs your rituals and the call of night grows blacker than your cavern's gloom. Irritating. They begin with 1d6 times 10 silvers, d4 omens. And their toughness, or their HP is toughness plus d4. So these guys are squishy, but they get a lot more omens.
They have a lot of omens, probably because they're crazy.
Now they know them eldritch ways.
Yes.
They are wise, so they roll a 3d6 plus 2 for presence. They are weak, they roll a 3d6 minus 2 for strength. Ordinary starting equipment, plus one random scroll, sacred or unclean. Roll a d4 on the weapons table and a d2 on the armor table. You also begin with one of the following. Roll a d6. On a 1, you are a master of fate. Damn. Mm. What use are maps when the substance of causality itself is open to you? You know the right way with a DR8 presence test.
That's crazy.
Yeah, like, you just like, fate dictates this way.
You just said that, like, him going out in, like, the sun was, like, painful. So I don't know how he finds his way anywhere when he's used to the dark.
Oh, remember, there isn't a sun anymore.
Your mom isn't the sun anymore.
Fortunate son. Burn out. On a 2, you get a book of boiling blood.
Ooh.
You may open and read from this book once a day. Your enemy must make a DR12 test to prevent this.
It's actually a cookbook.
If you can't get your own boiling blood, store-bought is fine.
Yeah, we use it to make a blood sausage, a blood soup, you know.
Bloop, if you will.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If they fail, D2 Berserker Slayers appear from the depths of a forgotten dimension of blood.
Ooh.
Roll a d6.
Ooh, that's fancy. This is the best one that we've heard so far.
Listen, it gets worse.
Okay.
So roll a d6. On a 1 to 4, these creatures will fight alongside you. On a 5 to 6, they turn on you, attempting to kill you and destroy the book. After the battle, they return to their imprisonment.
Well, it's a gamble.
It's a gamble. On a 3, you get Speaker of Truths. Twice per day, use your wisdom, knowledge, advice, and inner calm to bring clarity to a creature of your choice. The DR of the next test they undertake is lowered by 4.
Ooh.
That's a pretty significant boost.
That's a humongous boon.
On a 4, you are an initiate of the Invisible College.
Oh.
I don't know how you got there. It's invisible.
Is like aluminum foil invented yet? Because that sounds like an aluminum foil type of thing.
Unlikely.
Foil hats. It's invisible. I'm Professor Invisible College. I swear.
But this one's actually, listen, I went to Invisible College. So my degree is invisible. Don't question it.
I got a degree in invisinomics.
So once per day, you may summon D2 scrolls whose power can be used only once. Roll a D4. On a 1 to 2, the scrolls are sacred. On a 3 to 4, they are unclean. If the scrolls are not used before sunrise, they turn to ash. Being able to just have new spells on the fly is kick-ass.
Mm-hmm. That sounds fancy. What's unclean versus holy?
Basically holy magic versus unholy magic.
Mm. Or is one like soup, like monkey's paw, or
so
what?
Holy magic is largely like healing and buffing allies, while unholy magic is like doing really weird shit to damage your enemies.
Nice.
Like nice. Using your own blood to like whip them. That's fucking crazy.
Nice. That sounds cool.
5, you are a bard of the undying, which just sounds like it needs to be my actual fucking band name.
Mm-hmm.
You learnt your melodies in the other world. The music of your harp gives plus d4 on reaction rolls.
Nice.
6, hawk as a weapon. Your crafty, almost intelligent hawk is loyal only to you. Even without shared language, you understand its cries as it keeps watch, scouts, and swoops to attack foes. Attacks and defense are DR10, claws and bite d4 with 8 HP.
Why would a bard be a hermit?
Man, sometimes you just gotta get away from it all.
That's fair.
You roll a d6 for your Eldritch Origins. On a 1, you awaken, as an adult, fully grown, in a ritual circle underneath the northern bridge to Grift.
Oh.
On a 2, you wandered memoryless from the mouth of a cavern at the cliffs of Terion. On a 3, you are a single child survivor of an incident in the Valley of the Unfortunate Undead.
Ooh. Auspicious.
Indeed. On a 4, dying of plague in a Bergen Crypt hovel, you touch something from outside.
So, on a 5. Are you still dying?
Presumably
not. Outside. Capital O, outside. I was like.
Capital O, yeah.
What? Okay, go ahead.
On a 5, an average individual until you encountered something dim in a dim glade in Sarkash.
Mm.
On a 6, you are raised on a lonely island in Lake Onda. No one has ever heard of this island, and you can't return.
You sing about being on a boat.
I saw a boat. It's a fucking boat. Mm-hmm. I saw a boat. Blow the man down. I don't have my guitar, so I can't play the accompanying melody. But, you know, I wrote that song. The 4th is Wretched Royalty.
Oh.
Bow down only by the memories of your own lost glory. You could never submit to anyone else. Not you of noble blood. Not that you expect any of these peons to understand the depths of your sorrow. Mm-hmm. You begin with 4d6 times 10 silver and d2 omens. Your HP is toughness plus d6. Mm. Painfully average, you adjust no abilities. Roll a d8 on the weapons table, roll a d4 on the armor table, but re-roll if you receive heavy armor. You begin with 2 of the following. Mm. 1, the blade of your ancestors. This magnificent and clearly magical talking sword is foppish, unreliable, and quietly despises you. It taunts your failures, and if continually disappointed, develops a 1 in 6 chance to accidentally attack you or your companions. Deals d6 plus 1 damage. Attack defense DR is 10.
Can you ever impress it? Become friends with it? That depends
upon your GM.
That's fair.
2 is Poltroon the Court Jester, although we prefer to call him Jingly John!
Jingly John.
It's me, Jingly John! And I'm going to sing my friendship song!
It's a Jiggly John.
While practically useless, personally irritating, and an emotional drain, Jingly John's capering actually makes enemies lose their focus in combat. For the first 2 rounds, you and your allies get plus 2 on attacks and defense.
But is it worth the drawbacks?
It's worth it for Jingly John.
Is it?
It's so worth it.
Are you sure?
3, Barbarister, the Incredible Horse.
Barbarister.
Barbarister.
So it's a horse that's a barbarian lawyer.
Sure.
Isn't a barrister a lawyer?
I don't know. Don't ask me things.
Huh? Yes. Rob says yes, it is. So
okay.
Not only can the horse can attack you barbariously. It can also win your case in court barbariously.
Listen, if I am represented by a horse in a court of law, I think I'm winning that case.
Yeah, because it's a barbarian barrister. A barbarister.
Barbarister is magical, intelligent, arrogant, and vain. He can also talk.
Nice.
If you can persuade him to care... Barbarister occasionally adds +2 to presence tests involving logic and intellect. The horse may be smarter than you and is quite aware of this.
Probably. Lawyer is all.
4 is Hamfin the Squire. This intensely cowardly servant acts only as a guardian for the scabbard of the cursed sword Eurekia. Once per combat, if Ham can be found, Eurekia may be drawn. The sword does 2d6 damage, and for every swing of Eurekia, roll a d6. On a 1, the squire is slain, and the sword vanishes forever.
Ooh. High stakes.
High stakes indeed, because that's not a weak weapon.
Mm-mm.
The Snake Skin Gift. An expensive sandalwood box bound in snakeskin. It contains a seemingly ordinary dagger wrapped in silk. The dagger does d4 damage, but on a 1, the target dies immediately of a deadly poison weeping from the blade.
Wow. What the heck was that dagger in Skyrim? It was a Daedric weapon, right?
Yeah.
Man, I use that thing all the time. You know, sneaky archer.
Mehrunes Razor.
Yes, that's it. Okay.
6 is Horn of the Schleswig Lords.
Ooh.
Once per day, release a blare from this dented old trumpet and test presence DR 12. One creature may make their next non-combat test an automatic success.
Ooh, really loud for just a roll, but appreciated. Indeed. Just like in the middle of town, you're like, I need to make this save while you're talking to like a bartender about like gossip. just really loud.
Things were going well until D6. Mm. One, your Waslan Palace was reduced to rubble. Mm. Two, your caravan kingdom of Tavalin fell into penury. I don't know what that word means.
Let me Google it. Keep going.
Three, King Fathmuth the Ninth's brother Zygmunt, your father, was murdered.
Ooh.
Four, the southern empire of Sudglens sank into the sea.
Penury means extreme poverty, destitution.
Oh. Five is Anthelia demanded a gift of noble blood. And six, two young princes were kidnapped west of Bergen Crypt and disappeared into the black crevasse of the eastern slopes.
Ooh, spooky.
Then we move on to the heretical priest.
Ooh.
Hunted by the two-headed basilisks of the one true faith, this heretic can be found raving in ruins, traipsing endlessly down dusty roads and desecrating cathedrals by night.
Ooh.
Begins with 3d6 times 10 silver and d4 omens. Their HP is toughness plus d8. Their abilities are they are insightful, roll 3d6 plus 2 for presence, but they are frail, roll 3d6 minus 2 for strength. Roll a d8 on the weapons table and may use a powers while wearing medium armor. You begin Ooh. With one of the following. Roll a d6. One, the sacred shepherd's crook. Its head, a hook of human bone inscribed with overlapping anti-prayers. Edgy. This crook edgy. Hooks through other worlds. Oh, man.
What bone would you use that? Like, would you make out of that?
Who knows? Hmm. The staff does 2d4 damage except to faithless humans.
I think maybe a hip bone. And I am listening.
Two, they have the stolen mitre. While wearing this holy hat, the priest's vile body fades, becoming hard to hit in combat. Defense is now DR10. If pulled over the ears outside of battle, the priest becomes nearly invisible, testing stealth against DR8. Three is a list of sins, a long and accurate document cross-referenced against reality to discover unseen evildoers. Successful presence, DR10. What?
Like, so the list of sins, how do you discover evildoers if it's just the list of sins? Like, does it tell you... Who
it says you cross-reference it against reality. Like, I don't know what the fuck that means.
What does that mean, right? You just, like, look around, you're like, you look like you've done these. It's just like a sticky note.
Okay, so it goes into it. Successful presence, DR10, a strange light surrounds evil creatures. The list owner defends with plus 2 against anything being discovered this way. Four is the blasphemous Necrobell Bible. So intensely blasphemous, even the priests themselves can only peruse it once per day. When read, roll a die. On an even number, for the rest of the day, the PCs heal D4 HP after just 5 minutes of rest.
Nice.
On an odd result, the priest is plagued by demonic hallucinations. The DM may invent D3 things that only the priest can see and describe them to the player as if true. This effect ends on the sunrise.
That's fascinating. Reminds me of Blood Magic, the earlier one that I thought was cool. Still cool. Big gamble.
Five, stones taken from Thelemaslas Temple. Cast the stones on the ground. Their pattern reveals if danger lurks in an adjacent room. Absolutely. The stones like can teeth. Lie. The priest tests presence DR10 to see if they are true, but after failing, they cannot test again until the sun has set. And on six, here's the thing that's hard to read. It is the wrong Jesus crucifix.
Oh.
So it's Jesus, but it's the wrong Jesus.
Oh. All right.
The crucifix can be used in encounters with the undead as well as lesser trolls and goblins. Check morale, add or subtract a priest's presence modifier to see if the creatures bow and kindly remove themselves.
Oh. So polite.
Sorry, sir.
Oh, my mistake. Ooh. Let me just leave you.
Unholy origins on a D6. One, Galgenbeck near the Cathedral of the Two-Headed Basilisks. Two, Massacred Allianz Cult, sole survivor. Three, the Crypts of Grift.
The Grift Crypts? How much money do you think they stole from people?
Depends on how many cryptstake a grift.
True.
On a 4, the temple ruins in the Valley of the Unfortunate Undead. Mm. 5, one of the many Graven Tosk thief tunnels. Mm. And 6, a secret Bergen Crypt church.
That's interesting. I like how all of the places that they list are all kind of like coinciding a little bit with all the other specializations.
Yep, it's cool. Like, it's a very interconnected world.
Mm-hmm. Not very the final, big.
It's actually really not. Mm-hmm. The final class is the Occult Herb Master.
Herb Master.
Born of the mushroom, raised in the glade, watched by the eye of the moon in a silver black pool. Ooh. Very poetic. Mm-hmm. They begin with 2d6 times 10 silver and d2 omens. Their HP is toughness plus d6. Their abilities are tough as wood. You roll 3d6 plus 2 toughness. Low in protein, 3d6 minus 2 strength. Mm. Roll a d6 on the weapons table and a d2 on the armor table. Mm. You carry a portable laboratory and continually search for frequently expended ingredients. Daily, you have the materials to create 2 randomly determined decoctions and can brew a total of D4 doses. If unused, they lose vitality after 24 hours.
That makes sense.
Decoctions are on a D8. 1 is red poison. Toughness, DR12, or suffer minus D10 HP. Mm. Which at low levels can be instantly lethal.
Yeah, it really can. You don't get a lot of HP.
You really don't. 2, Azumiel's Vapor. Pass a DR14 test or severe and arguably fun hallucinations for D4 hours.
Arguably
also,
fun.
Also, it doesn't say what kind of test, so cool.
Ooh, GM's choice, I guess.
Southern Frog Stew. Vomit for D4 hours, pass a DR14 test, or you can do nothing else.
That's quite a decoction. Wow.
Elixir Vitalis. Heals Dixie... Duh. Heals D6 HP and stops D6. Infection. Can be habit forming.
Dick6.
Dick6.
Makes sense.
Spider Owl Soup. See in darkness and climb on walls for 30 minutes.
Wow. That just sounds like drugs. Like meth, actually.
What meth have you taken that lets you see in the dark and climb up walls?
Well, I meant, like, figuratively.
Listen, if meth gives me Spider-Man powers, I need some now.
Spider-Man owl powers. Thank you. That's what you just told me.
Ferner's Filter. Translucent oil must be dabbed right into the eye. Heals infection and gives a +2 on presence test for D4 hours.
Wow.
Hyphos, Enervating Snuff. Berserk! 2 attacks per round, but defend with DR14. Lasts 1 fight. Must be snorted. Causes sneezing.
Side effects
to Hyphos's Enervating Snuff may include sneezing.
Like, if anything had to make someone go into barbarian mode, it would need to be snorted. Because that's like the most unpleasant way to take drugs.
You have a drive suppository?
I would rather take a suppository than huff something up my nose.
Especially whenever it's this 8-inch long pill.
Right?
And the last one is Black Poison. Toughness DR14 or -D6 HP and blinded for 1 hour.
The Black Poison is the suppository.
They were probably raised in, on a 1-3, calm isolation in the Sarkash Dark. But may also come from the illegal midnight markets of Schleswig. Schleswig. The heretic Isle of Krellit, 2 nautical miles east of Grift. The old frozen ruins not far from Alliance. A little witch cottage in Galgenbeck. Or the ruins of the Shadow King's Manse, thick with memories of mushrooms and smoke.
The King's Manse.
And that is, my friends, all of the optional classes and the special abilities they can get in Morkborg.
Manse.
Any final questions or comments, Malimus?
Not really, because I don't really have any important things to say regardless about most things.
You say important things about chemistry. How else are you going to get all the fruits out of that tree?
Chemistry.
You see what I did there?
I do. I thought I was the high one.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. We super appreciate it. If you would like to find us on the social medias, that is facebook.com/d20dudes, twitter.com/d20dudes, or at d20dudes on Twitter if you want to find us there. Still trying to get that Blue Sky set up, but if you want to find us on the Discord so that you can pop in, say hello to us or physically or over the internet, harass me because, man, people like doing that. There's a link to the Discord down in the description. If you would like to support the podcast, patreon.com/d20dudes, just $3 a month gets you a shout out in every episode like we have for you, Molly.
Huzzah.
For Jenny and Word. For Zam and for Ken Thomas. Thank you guys so much for supporting the podcast. It means a lot to me because, god dang, I like having lunch on those hard days.
Yes. Happy to help you have food in general.
Yes, food. And now we are going to roll the beautiful bean footage and see what next week's topic is going to be.
Bean footage?
Yeah, you know, like the old, guess what it's going to be, Molly? Just take a wild fucking guess.
The charisma check?
Nope. It's gonna be the optional classes of cyborg.
Ooh, look at that. See, look, we're Borgin.
We do be Borgin, though.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be talking about this exact same thing, but in a cyberpunk setting next week. So thank you guys once again for listening, and we will catch you then. Bye.
Bye. Thank you. Bye.